Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8. Lord Krishna shows the universal form, text number 23. Tanmatra nidas sutau grinaya snuvantyau. Pankangaraga ruchira vupagriya dorbyam. Tadvastanam pratipato sma mukham niriksha. Mudasmitalpa dashanam yayatu pramodam. Tanmatra nija sutagri. Grinayas snuvantyao. Pangangaraga ruchira vapagriya dorabhyam. Tadvasana prapibhato sma mukham niriksha. Mugdasmitalpa dashanam yayatu pramodam. Gangaraga Rijava Briyadi Gorabhyam Tadvasanam Pratibhatos Mamukam Niriksha Mugdas Mitalpa Dashanam Etu Pramodam. Ladies. Yeah. Aharaga Ritiravisa Yorgam. Asmita padashanam yayatu pramodam shrimatarao tatmatarao. Their mothers, Rohini and Jasoda, Nijasutao, their own respective sons, Krinaya, with great affection, Nuvantyao, allowed to suck the flowing milk from their breasts very happily. Panka Anga Raga Ruchiya Chirao, whose beautiful transcendental bodies were covered with muddy cow dung and urine. Upagrinya, taken care of. Dorabhyam, by their arms. Dattva, delivering them. Stanam, the breast. Prapipatau, when the babies were sucking. Sma, indeed. Mukham, the mouth. Niriksha, and seeing. Mukta-smita alpa-darshanam, smiling with little teeth coming out of their mouths. They were more and more attracted. Yatu, and enjoyed. Pramodam, transcendental bliss. Translation. And purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Dressed with muddy earth, mixed with cow dung and cow urine, the babies looked very beautiful. And when they went to their mothers, both Jasoda and Rohini picked them up with great affection, embraced them, and allowed them to suck the milk flowing from their breasts. While sucking the breasts, the babies smiled, and their small teeth were visible. Their mothers, upon seeing these beautiful, those beautiful teeth, enjoyed great transcendental bliss. Purport. As the mothers cared for their respective babies, by the arrangement of Yogamaya, the babies thought, here is my mother. And the mothers thought, here is my son. Because of affection, milk naturally flowed from the mother's breasts, and the babies drunk it. When the mother saw small teeth coming in, they would count them and be happy. And when the babies saw their mothers allowing them to drink their breast milk, the babies also felt transcendental pleasure. As this transcendental affection continued between Rohini and Balaram, and Jasoda and Krishna, they all enjoyed transcendental bliss. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai, Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane, Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shinivadi Paskatyade Satarne. Well, now I have another opportunity to say something about a subject I know little about. Although it seems quite simple, Krishna is a little baby and Balaram is a little baby and Mother Jasoda is their mother, but actually, is she their mother? Krishna, he says, janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha tyaktvadeham panarjanma naitimam eti sorjana. That one who can actually understand the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not take birth again in this material world, but attains to my spiritual nature. In other words, Krishna's activities are eternal, and they're on the transcendental platform of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Unless we're full of transcendental awareness and we're overwhelmed with transcendental bliss, then we don't really understand completely Krishna's transcendental appearance and his activities. And if we don't understand Krishna's transcendental appearance and activities, then, as I said the last time, how will we actually understand what's going on here? In the conditioned life, we have a relationship. And our first relationship, apparently, is with our gross material body and subtle mind, intelligence, and false ego. And this is our loving affair right now, principally, in conditioned life. And instead of experiencing transcendental bliss, we're experiencing kama, krodha, lobha, matsarya, moha, and a few other things. But that's not transcendental bliss. In other words, Krishna says, dumena vriyate vanira, itardara shomalena cha, itobin avrita garva sita, tenedam avritam. Just like the fire is covered by smoke, or the mirror is covered by the dust, or the embryo is covered by the womb, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. So right now we're dreaming that we are this body. And it seems quite real and important to us right now. Of course, we've had so many other dreamlike states of existence in the material world, and they all seem equally important to us and relevant when we had them. Every living entity who is encaged in a certain body in all the universes that Krishna has created are actually believing that their present drama in some particular body is that is reality, that is existence, that is the platform of potential enjoyment and awareness. But, although we may not be able to understand what's going on in the 10th canto, because we don't necessarily have transcendental senses, but still we should understand at least how we're an illusion in the process of getting out of illusion, so that one day we can understand what is actually going on in the 10th canto. First of all, we're trying to understand how great Krishna is. For instance, ekopya so rachi tum jagata anda ko tim, that Krishna is in every atom. So we can try to understand how Krishna is in every atom. Or as he says, Vedaham samtitani vartmanani tra arjuna parvishami tra bhutani mamtu vedana kaschana. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that's happened in the past, everything that's happening in the future, and everything that's going to happen in the everything that's happening right now. So of course our tiny brains can't really accommodate such a phenomena that anyone can know everything in the past, present, and future. We hardly can perceive what's going on in front of our nose. Our awareness is so limited, and to conceive of someone who has such unlimited awareness goes beyond even our wildest imagination. We don't even know what to imagine. But that same personality is present as a little baby, and as much as he's great, to that extent, he's full of transcendental bliss. Therefore, it's not an ordinary phenomena when one is playing the part of Krishna's mother. One is dealing with simply the embodiment of transcendental pleasure in unlimited varieties. And Mother Yashoda is also on a platform of bliss and consciousness which goes way beyond our imagination. Therefore, these 10th canto is more or less as an idea of something what goes on in the spiritual world, although our intelligence may not be able to perceive very well exactly what is actually taking place here. Because the loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees are not based upon material bodies, but they're based upon spiritual bodies. And if we're not aware of our own spiritual body and its potencies, instead we're conscious of the gross and subtle material bodies, then we don't really have much of a reference to understand what's going on in these pastimes. So why are we reading them? Well, Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, because we have to have some idea that God's a person. At least we should understand, as it says, Prabhupada describes in the second canto of the second chapter, Lord in the Heart, text number 35, how we can perceive the Supersoul within our heart by the use of our intelligence and by inference. And Prabhupada goes through a process of describing how the material world is nothing but the combination and permutation of the gross and subtle material elements, namely earth and water and fire and air and intelligence and false ego, mind intelligence and false ego. And how the living entity is now in a body made out of these elements, but actually these elements are the same elements not only that his body is made out of, but also all the other material nature is made out of, especially earth, water, fire, air, and ether. But the material nature we can see is not conscious, is only ourselves within the bodies. We're conscious. But what we're conscious of, whether the body or the things outside the body, are unconscious. But now we can see that we can't see or perceive except through the arrangements made by the gross and subtle material energies, including our eyes and our ears and our sense of taste and touch and our hands and our legs, etc. We can't perceive or move unless we're doing it through these gross and subtle bodies. But we're not the gross and subtle bodies, nor does the gross material nature or the subtle material nature give rise to living entities. Whereas Prabhupada says, trust no futures, however pleasant, that idle talk regarding the future creation of matter, a spirit from matter, is just so much idle speculation. That we can see that the spiritual nature of the soul is manifest in his dissatisfaction with his materially conditioned experience. And then Prabhupada writes that these things can be understood by use of intelligence, real intelligence. When Prabhupada used to talk about intelligence, he wasn't talking about the technological intelligence. For instance, modern society seems to be advanced in technological science, although compared to the demigods, it's quite primitive. We find that there are airplanes, the demigods are carrying the Ganges in airplanes, and they're creating the river Ganges for us, Bhagarati in the heavenly planets, and here it's called the Ganges. So what kind of airplanes carry an ocean of water? And as Prabhupada writes in the Vaikuntha airplanes, they don't make any sound, nor do they have any exhaust, nor do they crash. They don't probably even need an airport to land at. So we may appreciate ourselves, modern society appreciates the glorious activities in creating that technology, but it seems that the more they become technologically advanced, the less real intelligence they have of understanding what is the difference between matter and spirit. For instance, if your car breaks down and you're expert at fixing your car, but at the same time you break down, but you don't mind that you broke down, you fix your car first rather than you're taking care of your health, then you're a fool. It may be true your car is broken down, but if you break down, it's far worse than your car. So modern society is not concerned with the fact that they've broken down the soul. They're concerned with the car breaking down. But the spiritualists use their intelligence to fix themselves. And while they're trying to fix themselves, if they have some means of helping their car, they may do it. But their priority is to fix themselves first. So that's real intelligence. Otherwise, you may get your car working perfectly, but if you yourself are going to hell, what is the value of a perfect car to take you there? Therefore, real intelligence, it means to be able to understand the difference between oneself and the gross and subtle material bodies. And then above that, to understand that there is intelligence being supplied to us. We come to understand the difference between ourselves and the body, not due to our own prowess, it's due to the help of the super soul. Didami buddhi yogam tam or te savasi chaham ridi sanavishto matak smritira gyanam aponam cha vedaischa savaraham eva vedyo vedanta krid vedavid eva chaham. That Krishna, he's like the father giving direction to the son, or the teacher giving direction to the student. So although we may take credit for the intelligence that's being supplied to us, it's actually not our intelligence, it's coming from the super soul. Our only credit comes from our willing to be an instrument. Of course, if we're an instrument with the spiritual intelligence, then we get some credit. And if we're an instrument for material intelligence, then we simply we're wasting our time and wasting everyone else's time. No matter how glorious we are, even if we create a universe like Brahma with so much intelligence being supplied by the Supreme Person, still Brahma ultimately, if he doesn't go back to Godhead, he may become an insignificant ant in the future. According to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, at one time we were all Brahmas, or at least some highly placed demigod. But right now, we're not Brahma, nor are we a highly placed demigod. Therefore, unless we utilize our, become an instrument for spiritual intelligence, we're wasting our time. But in any case, the credit goes to Krishna, because Krishna is supplying intelligence according to what we deserve and what we desire. Therefore, our free will, Prabhupada points out, consists in either orientating our desires towards the ignorant misconception of misidentifying ourselves with the gross and subtle material bodies, or orientating ourselves toward the true spiritual conception of being Krishna's servant. Now, these pastimes serve as an inspiration. As a matter of fact, the whole philosophy serves as an inspiration so we can dovetail our intelligence with the superior intelligence coming from the super soul and delivered to us by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So that we can understand that this is our goal. That our goal will become not an impersonal energy in some void or Brahman effulgence, but in the spiritual world, there are also persons, and there are places, and there are activities, and there are emotional loving exchanges. And they go on for eternity. Everything goes on, but there's no fear. There's no anxiety out of death, or old age and disease. So if we like those things, the pastimes of taking birth, growing old, becoming diseased, and then dying, we're in a perfect place. And although we seem to have relationships here, but when you kind of like cut them down to what they're really all about, according to the Bhagavatam, they're all attempts to survive. All our professions, these, I guess, professing love and friendship and this and that, according to the Bhagavatam, it's all just banding together to try to survive here a few breaths longer. It says, Deha Patya Kalatradishu Atma Sanyeshva Satsupi Tesham Pramato Nidanam Pashanapi Napashiti. The Bhagavatam is not romantic. If you want to read a romantic novel or a romantic book, don't read the Bhagavatam. Because in the Bhagavatam it says, our body, deha, apatya, my children, kalatra, our wife, and adishu, and everything else. What are they? The atma sanyeshu. They're all fallible soldiers. We're all trying to protect each other from death. But death is taking everyone away. But in spite of that, we don't see. We struggle on with these relationships, with our activities here, trying to avoid death and ultimately dying anyhow. So real dovetailing our intelligence, people are not inclined to spiritual life because they think, they don't know what to think. They think you're going to go to heaven and play on a harp, little horn, whoop, whoop, glories to God, glories to God. Wake up, ah, oh, glories to God, glories to God. Spiritual life is not really presented in a very attractive form. It's like, you go to heaven, what goes on in heaven? Not much. You can sit there and watch God condemning people to hell, picking them up and then throwing them into the burning fire. Poof. Ah, another one. A little excitement. Therefore, people are not attracted to spiritual life because there's nothing apparently going on that's of any interest to anyone here. It seems here we can have loving exchanges, we can eat nice food, we can play sports or watch sports, we can do so many wonderful things, and spiritual life is just kind of dull. Some old man sitting on a throne and surrounded by people playing harps and horns. Or as I said before, after some time, all these little people surround God and say, my dear God, please throw me back into hell or down into hell, because at least in hell there's some rock music. Something's going on. So although we may not be able to enter into the mysteries of actually what's going on in these pastimes, at least we should understand it's dealing with Krishna, and Krishna is not a little ordinary child. It's not just Mother Yashoda breastfeeding Krishna. How boring. No, we have to understand it's mysterious, actually, what's going on there. How much transcendental pleasure is actually involved? How much transcendental consciousness? What is Mother Yashoda actually aware of just by looking at her Krishna's teeth? What is she actually experiencing? Until we come to that platform of transcendental experience, we won't understand what's really going on. But at least we should understand that something's going on. It's not a void. It's not an impersonalism. It's loving exchanges. And they're eternal. They're so much happiness. They can go on forever, and everyone becomes more excited every time they happen. Nitya nava nava yavana is ever fresh and more exciting, enthusing. So, therefore, at least we should understand there's three things. There is matter, there's spirit, there's super spirit. And if we put into use our intelligence, then we can understand that the super soul, who's our guide right now, his only business is not simply to supply whatever the conditioned souls want in the material world. That he also has a place, a spiritual world, where he enjoys. And that's being described here. So Prabhupada says, if we put into practice this philosophy, then bhavanam janmanamante gyanamamam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti saramahatma sudurlabha, that after many, many births and deaths, one who has actually knowledge will understand how Krishna is the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Now when we can see everyone and everything in relation to Krishna and act only for Krishna, then we can actually understand things as they really are. And then we can enter into the mystery of Krishna's understanding by dedicating our activities solely for Him and enter into the same spirit as the residents of Vrindavan, be able to uncover our spiritual senses and perceive with them and therefore actually understand what's going on in the 10th canto. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. A kopiso rachitum jagranda ko team.
And the behavior of the interaction of subatomic particles is described by mathematical equations. Yeah, it's called quantum mechanics. Okay, so where's consciousness? Or to speak of Krishna, where's even consciousness? Words, I don't know if we could, how do we dismiss this worldview out of hand? Because, you know, these people who have come up with this particular understanding, it's not just like, you know, there's practical things that they can do based upon their particular model of reality, their understanding of life. There's medical science, there's rockets, you know, there's a lot of things that they've demonstrated that they really do know something because, they're producing stuff that works. And that's, you know,
they know something, but I wouldn't go ahead and give them too much credit.
I'm not. But what's our justification?
They know, probably say they know something because Krishna is supplying them with intelligence. Therefore, they know something. Just like we know something. You know, for instance, we know how to add 1 plus 1 to equal to 2 because Krishna is telling us how to do it. So the material nature has properties. Like it has solidity and fluidity, and it has, so they know how, by practice and whatever else, Krishna is giving them intelligence to utilize the material nature in a certain way. Especially those who are Naradamas, whatever, because of their previous pious activities, they are supplied a certain amount of intelligence, the human form of life. But as far as, you know, what the atom is made out of, the scientists have no idea what's going on inside the atom. They don't even know who they are, but to speak of the atom. I heard the example is that just like if you take a dog and you beat it, and out comes wolves. Now if you take an atom and you so-called with your psychotron, whatever it is, and hit it, and something comes out, quarks or whatever else, and you say that's what the atom is made out of, that may not be what the atom's made out of. Just like a dog is not made out of woofs, because you beat it and some woofs come out. So it's not that they hit the atom, something comes out, and they say that's what the atom's made out of. Could be just woofs.
Mm-hmm. On that point, there's a joke. Why can't we trust atoms?
Atoms?
Yeah, why can't we trust atoms?
I never met Adam. Why should I trust?
No, the answer is because everything is... Cause everything
have you
is
ever met Adams?
Well,
why should we trust
the joke is,
why should we trust the why should we trust the scientist's description? They've never seen an atom. All they can do is, you know, give us the results of so-called activities of the atoms. But personally, they don't have any idea. But we can see they don't even know who they are. If you tell a scientist your body's changing, but you're not changing, they can't understand what you're talking about. So how much intelligence do they really know? How much do they really know what's going on here? They don't even know the most important thing, the soul. So if they can't even understand how their body's changing, but they're not changing, they have no intelligence, really. They have no real intelligence. So why should we trust them? They come up with these fairy tales, so many fairy tales, and we just trust them. Just like Darwin's theory of evolution. It's all a concoction. It's not even a theory. If people are blind, they trust such things. They just come up with more and more speculations. The missing link. Prabhupada said, the missing link is my foot in your head. That's the missing link. Well, I mean, I don't know if he meant that literally, but it means that why should we trust them? They come up with some kind of fairy tale and then people dream along with them, that's all. Yes. Of course, I'm sure when you go out and distribute books, this is not our normal way of talking to people, because we wouldn't distribute any books that way, hardly any. But we should understand, at least with ourselves, amongst ourselves, that we don't accept the fairy tales that the so-called scientists, many of the scientists, are telling us. Yes.
In one purport, Prabhupada said, the modern materialistic scientists have lost their brain work due to accepting the theory of uncertainty.
They've what?
Uncertainty. You know, they always say, perhaps, maybe. It's just so much speculation.
Yeah. What do you say, Drew the Karma Guru? This is your field. Give it to Drew the Karma.
What do I say about what exactly? I say many things.
The atoms, the scientists are so, they know so many things. And why should we trust them? Why should we trust their idea about atoms?
Well, like you were pointing out, nobody's ever really seen it. There are descriptions in the Vedic literature of atoms. Andantarastar Paramanu Chayantarastam. Krishna is located, that's in the Brahma Samhita. Krishna is located within the universe as the super soul of the whole universe, but he's also present within each atom. Or Parama Anu, that means the smallest thing, whatever it is, the atom, the subatomic particle, whatever, Krishna's inside of it, and giving it its ability to act. It's very mysterious. They don't even really understand why they're stable atoms. There's something in the universe called fine-tuning. It means things on the subatomic level are very finely tuned for life to exist in the universe. Like the ratio of the mass of the electron to the proton in the atom. Yeah, they think the atom is composed of protons and electrons and things like that. But if the mass of the proton and the mass of the electron were even slightly different than they are, there wouldn't be stable atoms. So ultimately, they don't have any explanation for that. We have an explanation. It's by God's arrangement, by the fact that Krishna is within the atom, adjusting everything so it functions. But, I mean, like you're pointing out, like, they don't really solve the real problems. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. They may be doing so many things, inventing so many things, but where are these inventors? Where have they gone? Where has Einstein gone? Where have the founders of their quantum mechanics and everything gone? Yeah, they're subjected to the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. And those are the real problems. The real science is to solve those problems, not to make all kinds of technology that really increase the problems. they make, what is the result of their atomic science? Hydrogen bombs, atomic bombs, nuclear power plants that spread atomic waste. You know, by their technology, they're not solving the real problems. They're even increasing them more and more. So the real science is the science of Krishna consciousness.
Good.
There's Srila Prabhupada wrote about the spiritual atom, the soul. Let's understand that. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. At one point you were mentioning about if you're going to fix your car that is breaking down, but before you fix your car, you have to watch your own. Maybe you're breaking down too. So how can you fix something when you're also breaking down? So in understanding also that analogy, even within our process of devotional service, is very glorious, but if someone prematurely jumps up to a level that which is not, trying to go and save others when his own body is breaking down. So can we say that the question is that that activity or that devotional service, if you want to call it devotional service, is in the mode of ignorance with passion, and therefore sometimes many discrepancies happens in practitioners?
Kapila Dev says in the third canto that there is different types of devotional service. Sometimes render in ignorance, sometimes in passion, sometimes goodness, sometimes transcendental. So we should find out what the qualities of our devotional service are and how to make it transcendental rather than under the modes of nature. But I think we're going to stop there because it's late. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.